Good morning, everybody. This is Coach the Coach Practicum 1 for the October 2015 cohort for the Martha Beck Life Coach Training. And this is the morning class, and you are Group A. I'm Deb Droz, and I am your instructor for this class. So last week, we had a class based on all the access tools, and you guys went off and practiced with each other. And this week, we are going to, and then you also prepped for the class today, which is Body Compass, listening to the demos and reading the information in your binder. And then today, I'm going to let you practice the Body Compass and the to-do list on each other. Hopefully, we'll have time to get at least two of those in. Sometimes they can take a little time. But before we get started, any questions? What came up for you during the week? I looked out on the thread, and I think I pretty much addressed everything, but did I miss any questions out there? So just say your name before you, ask your question or share your comment so we can get used to your voices, and I'd love to know what's going on. What happened this week?
I have a question, Deb. This is
okay.
Tanya.
Hi, Tanya. Okay.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. My question was when I found when I was coaching, and I only coached people who are in this class this week.
Okay.
And I found that it was difficult for me, but it seemed to be easy for the person being coached. If you would just kind of give them a few prompts, they could work their way all the way to, this is the thought that is bothering me, and I should probably think about this. And I wondered if that was just because I'm coaching people who are in this class, and that's the way they're thinking.
Oh, no, you will find that. Oh, okay, so let me make sure I understand your question. You want to know if it's because they were in class with you and this is what we taught were just the access tools and hunches being the big piece that helped them get to their own answers. You want to make sure that is very typical. And that's what we mean by helping our clients find their own wisdom, understand their own painful thoughts. We throw out the hunches, and it resonates or it doesn't, right? And usually when it resonates, that opens the crack, and people can just kind of cascade in. There may be several paths you can go, to make that happen. And but it sounds like you were doing a good job with your hunches. And again, even when you throw out a hunch that's not true, it can bring something else up in the client that can help them go toward what their painful thought is and really what the issue is, and they can see things in a different light. So I think you must have been doing a good job with the access tools. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I think I was doing a good job of being quiet and letting them come up with the answer. If that's a good job, I don't know, but that's what I felt like I was doing a lot.
That's exactly what we want to do as coaches. We want to hold the safe space for our clients. We want to listen to where they are. We want to understand what's causing them pain. And when our curiosity comes up, we note that. We interrupt gently and say, I have a hunch. You throw out your hunch. Tell me where I'm wrong. And then you get feedback. When you don't have enough information, you say more. You say more, right? So it sounds like you were doing all those things. Did it seem unusually quick or magical to you?
With one, it did seem very, I really felt like I was just sitting back listening more than doing anything else.
Okay.
But it, it worked. I think the hardest thing for me is just remembering to say the words properly and not to fall back into the, well, I could be wrong about that, or, you know, say the words exactly as you are supposed to say them.
Well, and you know, as you go through the training, I would just say for certification, you want to say the words as we teach them. But Martha herself will tell you there are 100 ways of saying, tell me where I'm wrong. So you don't need to get hung up on that too much, but do definitely remember it for certification. And I will, in this practicum, I will prompt you to say it the way we teach it. However, when you're off and you're practicing, you know, you can say it that way, or you don't have to say it that way. You can say it the other way, you know, like, does this resonate, you know? Tell me whether this sounds appropriate. Am I on the right path? I mean, there's so many different ways you could say it, right? So, yeah, that's totally fine. I have a tip while you're practicing. For these access tools, especially the ones we learned last week, and these are tools you are going to use throughout every practicum in the training. So you're going to use them in the practicum 2, 3, and 4, and you're going to get a lot of practice in practicum 4. And it'll be fun because you get to pull it all together and use your intuition to use all the tools you've been taught. And you may find that you don't even need anything other than the access tool again, you know. So one thing you can do is you can absolutely put a little cheat sheet in front of you and have the words as we teach them just to remind you. And all of you can do that. You can put the phrases down as we're teaching them right now. And that's really good when you're doing the body compass so you can follow the flow of the body compass. So I think you're doing great. One other point about this. You said you had one client that you really just listened. Sometimes it's the first time anyone has had someone deeply listen to them. And that alone can really just shed the light on what's going on. I also want to say, if you got something going on in the background, it would be good to put yourself on mute, and that would be 4-star. And then if you have a question and you want to unmute yourself, go ahead and press 4-star again. So Tanya, does that all make sense?
Yes, that's great. Thank you.
Okay, great. So anybody else, any questions?
I have a question, Deb. This is Candace.
Hi, Candace. Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to quickly share in my experience working the access tools. They work beautifully, and we were able to quickly get down to sort of the painful thought or belief.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping it's not just my experience, but once we got there, I'm hoping the access tools were just to get there because I didn't feel like we could dissolve it.
Right. Right, and sometimes you will dissolve it, and you're going to learn a lot about dissolving in practicum 2 with the work.
Okay.
The other thing we're going to learn next week are the 5 whys, and that can very often point the painful thought or limiting belief out. There are ways that we can work those thoughts, but most of that you're going to be learning later on. But just know that for right now, focusing on what you're learning in each class, and that's as far as you can go, make sure your client's okay. If you want to bring it to a lovely conclusion, just hold the space, ask them if they're doing okay. If there's a whole lot of emotion that's come up, and you'll find that'll happen, a whole lot of emotion may come up because they recognize their painful thought. And just make sure they're okay. Do you need to connect again? And leave them in a pretty good place. And if any of you ever have such a traumatic or, you know, really emotional response, you guys can always reach out to me via email, and we can figure out where to go from there. So again, the same thing that we say on the calls about not bringing anything extremely traumatic to the call, it's probably a good idea right now for your practice coaching at this level. And as you get to know each other and feel more comfortable with each other, some of that may naturally come up, and it's okay. And you're going to start learning the tools. And we'll do some of that even in this class, like next week and the week after. So does that help, Candace?
It does. And really quickly, Deb, too, this isn't about, because I found myself wanting to give suggestions on a few things, but that's not necessarily a part of the access tools either, correct?
Right. Giving advice is not. So tell me what you mean by suggestion, and let's talk about that a little bit.
Just, well.
You don't have to give me a particular example. And
okay.
Due to client confidentiality, of
right.
course.
That's what I'm like.
Give me an idea, and just you can use a different circumstance. You can substitute words.
Let's see. Well, let's say sort of maybe a surface issue might be something around eating.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Yep.
Okay, and then. My brain sort of wants to go to helpful suggestions on how to make that happen more consistently and become a habit of putting yourself first.
Got it.
Or at least equally as important as other people.
Got it. Okay. So this is perfect. And you can look at how you can throw out hunches, right?
Okay.
You could say, I have a hunch that you really put everyone else first. Tell me where I'm wrong. And
correct.
That may bring
we
to light
that.
A whole bunch of stuff, right? If you, for example, if you are a health coach or a wellness coach, there may be times when it's appropriate to throw out suggestions.
Come in.
Like that. If you... For example, say you're helping someone really, and I just want to say again, if you've got anything going on in the background or rustling papers or anything like that, just go ahead and put yourself on mute, which is 4-star, because I'm hearing some noise in the background. So sorry. Back to you. It was Candace, right?
Yes.
So in that instance, like I've had clients in the past where I gave suggestions on how to help them remember to take their thyroid pills, right? I think
right.
that that's okay. It's logistics of living life, you know? And you can always ask, I have a thought. Is it okay if I share it with you on how to maybe make this easier? See if it fits.
Okay.
Right? So it's okay.
Okay. Okay.
And
okay.
it's definitely depending. You know, if you've got somebody whose marriage is breaking up, you know, we really don't know the whole story in a situation like that, or whose parent is dying, or, you know, whose kids are, I don't know, truant or whatever the case may be. We don't really know all the details about that, and we're not really in a place where we would give suggestions on things like that. So you really want to help the person go into their inner wisdom and find out what's best for them. And frankly, even if you're giving advice as a wellness coach or a business coach, you know, on how to set up Hootsuite, for example, or something like that, and if business is going to be your niche, if it doesn't resonate with the person and it's not something that they're really invested in, it's not going to matter how many suggestions you make. It's not going to, they're not going to follow through. So you can give suggestions, and then you can ask, how could we tailor this to what you need for what you're doing right now? So there's ways around it, and it'll get much easier as you go along. So does that help?
Yes, it does. It does. I just wanted to just sort of, I guess, get reassurance that it's okay to have been where we left off. So I would have wanted to be more helpful. And then just to kind of clarify on the advice giving suggestions, because a few things would pop into my brain and I'd want to say, how about?
Yeah, and many of us are like that, right? Because that's what we've done all our lives, is we're helpful and we give suggestions and we've got great ideas. But if somebody is chronically not taking care of themselves, for example, and they're exhausted and, you know, they have five kids or whatever it is, or they're a workaholic, you know, you could give suggestions all day long and it's not going to make a difference. And in a case like that, for example, you really want to get to the core. Say you have a workaholic client and it's really causing problems in their family and they just want to work all the time and that's what brings them joy, right? But I would have a hunch that deep down inside that person, you know, you might give all the suggestions you could about how to compartmentalize and how to set an alarm and whatever it is you might be thinking, but my guess is you'd have a hunch that their workaholism is keeping them from feeling their feelings or keeping them from addressing something that's a deeper issue, and that's what you want to get to, and that's a situation where you don't really want to start giving advice or saying, I have an idea on this, this, and this, because there's something deeper behind it. And you're going to start recognizing that probably right away as you guys are practicing coaching. Because tell me where I'm wrong, but I think you're all probably very intuitive. And even if you're not, that is a skill. The intuition is a skill that you hone over time. And you're going to start gathering evidence. In fact, I'd love all of you guys to do this as you're practicing because I think it's a great tool. You can almost keep a practice journal, right, a coaching journal, and you can keep evidence of where your hunches were correct, where they weren't correct, but it led you to a different path and a hunch that hit the mark. And keep that kind of evidence on your building to intuition and your marmoset responses and the hunches you throw out. And it's a really good practice to show you that, yes, you're indeed doing this. And it will be a bit of a confidence. It's always a confidence builder to gather evidence. And sometimes you'll forget the good parts of a call and you might beat yourself up for not doing something in a way you thought was correct, and you forget about the times you did it wonderfully. So keep that evidence journal. It's a good idea. Any other questions? Any questions? Go ahead.
Well, this is Danielle. Hi.
Okay.
I don't know if I want to interrupt because I know we need to move on. So, but this could be potentially a bridge to the next section.
Sure.
I'll try to be brief.
No problem.
So, yeah, I was coaching someone, like not in the coaching group this morning, and felt stuck sort of at the end. So I had a hunch, and the hunch was right. And I think I'll try to describe it generally because it might help. Basically, she was like had a household duty, sort of normal household duties, and had attached, you know, being a good person to that. You know, if that household duty didn't happen, then she wasn't a good mom and a good, you know, person. We all do that. But
wasn't earning her keep, whatever. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and just really, like, a lot of ownership had brought up her mom and how, you know, her household wasn't very clean when she was growing up. And so she was – so whenever she walked into her house, she felt this, like, huge weight of feeling dread and of, like, oh, my gosh, everything's so terrible. I'm not getting anything done. There's these piles of things everywhere. So my hunch was that she was attaching, you know, a tremendous amount of her own identity to the state of her house. And she was very like, yes, that's right. like I wasn't really, I didn't feel like it was rocking science, but I was so happy that she said that.
But it is for them, right?
Yeah, no, it was really good. I mean, she was like, I'd never thought of that. I mean, the part that really threw me at the very end, and I felt like I left her sort of hanging, and anyway, I'm feeling a little anxious about this, is she's like, this is good, but now I feel like all this is going to do is, like, try to get me to get off the hook about dealing with these things in my house. So she kind of immediately went back to, like, it was basically standard household chore stuff that we all have.
Uh-huh.
So, like, things that, I mean, things that, so I kind of
It's a perfect
to
segue
do.
To the body comfort.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, okay, and we got off the phone, and I just felt like, well, I'm not trying to say you shouldn't do anything about your house.
but
like,
it's okay.
I know what to do next week with her. I've like, you know, I was like, I just, all I, my hunch, that's it. Now next week, just stay tuned. So I hope that, you know, because she doesn't know what the balance is, basically, between that, how much she should deal with, what she should do with the thought and the day-to-day of taking care of a house, so.
Right, and chances are she's not just going to let it all go.
Right.
And
right.
If she did, she would learn a ton about that. She would learn a ton about herself. She would learn what feels good, what doesn't. She would learn maybe that works for her, right? So you don't know what she left with might be exactly perfect. And she might go and say, screw this, I'm not doing any of this stuff anymore, right?
And like
won't
she
learn a lot?
Because I said, like, you know, you may. I said you may actually need to do all those things, and you'll feel a lot better, or you may not. So it's not that this thought means the action that you take with your house means anything different. It's simply that you need to be aware of this heaviness you feel. But I didn't know what to do with the sort of the next step for her, because she still doesn't. She still has these feelings of going into her house and facing the day-to-day. And so the question I have for you and us is, what would you do next with that? Because it's not really the thought is something that we all have. These are actions that we have to do every day. So,
right. And I would do the body compass and the to-do list. And so thank you. You would think that I asked you to do this. So that is perfect. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to go through the body compass really quickly as just some things I want you to take definite note of, and then I'm going to ask for a volunteer. So be thinking about whether or not you want to be the coach, and be thinking about whether or not you want to be the client. We did have somebody volunteer to be the client, I think.
I volunteered. It's Heather to be the client.
Perfect, Heather. So we know you'll be the client. So let me go through what I want to make sure you guys need to know, and then you can ask me any questions, and then I'll ask for a coach volunteer to work with Heather. Okay, so you may have a client that you need to bring back into their body, and after listening to Jessica's recording, you probably all have a good idea how to do that. It's almost like the meditation we did last week, you know, where I started at your feet, went up to your head, and you don't even have to pour the pitcher of warm liquid or anything like that. You can just very simply when somebody in, and you may find this doesn't work, but a quick way is to have somebody feel their feet, to have somebody notice their hands, wiggle their fingers, and then notice the tip of their nose. And that's enough to get somebody, you know, back in their body with a breath or two. So there's always that. You may, there's the long version of the body compass where you get them into their body, the long version first. We're not going to do that today in practice. We're going to do the short version of the body compass. If you're working with a client that needs to get back in their body, we can do that quickly. You may even find that you have clients that have no idea a physical sensation in their body is and what that's all about. So you may have to bring them into their body, too, and that may take time. You might have clients that never, ever want to do the body compass. I had one client like that, and I really wanted to do the body compass with her. I thought it would be amazing for her, and she resisted it until, you know, even up until we weren't even working together anymore, she never wanted to do the body compass. And you can't force that on someone. So that's fine. When people have resistance, sometimes there's a really good reason for it. So I think, hold on for a second, Anna Lee, I think if you can put your phone on mute, I keep hearing sounds coming from, it looks like from your phone. Can you put your phone on mute, or is that difficult? Anna Lee, are you there? You might be on mute. Thank you. Where was I? So get them in their body. The other thing, then what you do, just you have them, you know, just having them close their eyes, breathe deeply, relax, may do it. So you want, we want to start, what this is called is calibration, and you're having your client calibrate their body compass for the very first time probably. Some people have lived their life based on body gut feel, and that's okay. When you have a client like that, that's great, and you probably won't have to work as hard. But other people have no idea what you're talking about when you say follow your body compass. So you may have to take it a little slower. And so it may take a couple of sessions even before you're ready to calibrate them. So just putting that out there so you know. When we calibrate somebody, what we're doing is we're finding an area, a memory that's really crappy. And we don't want it to be the worst. We don't want to re-traumatize anyone. And so I'm not even sure saying don't choose the worst is a good idea, because immediately you're going to think of the worst, right? It's like trying not to think of a pink elephant when somebody says pink elephant. So you would just say a very unhappy time, and you can ask them not to choose the worst time ever, and that's fine for the purposes of this class. And then what you want to do is get them in that memory. So you may ask them, and this is not in the book, but you ask them to put themselves back in the memory, smell the smells, see the sights, notice the colors, the weather that day, and really get them into that memory. And then you ask them what bodily sensations or symptoms are connected to that event. And a lot of times make it almost like a meditative practice. So give them a minute or two to really dig in deep. Sometimes your client will answer quickly. Sometimes they'll take a minute or two or even longer to really get into the sensation of that event. And then you can ask them what the physical feelings are associated with that. Sometimes if it was a very emotional time, or even angry, you know, we find a lot of sensations are like from the neck to the belly button, and yet other people will have sensations in their arms. Sometimes people's legs will feel like they're on fire, but it's a physical sensation. So we want to go back. If they're trying to talk about the event and how they felt sad, we want to say, what did sad feel like in your body? If they were angry, what did angry feel like in your body? Where was it? You know, was it hot? Did it feel like, and we don't want to prompt them necessarily, but you can guide if they're having a hard time coming up with the actual physical sensation. So that's what we want, and that's going to help people learn their body and understand it. Once they come up with that physical sensation, they might say jittery stomach. We want them to name it, and if they name it jittery stomach, that's perfect. They might want to name it the time I made a big mistake. I don't know what they're going to want to name it, but stick with the physical sensation. Say they had the jittery stomach and it was a terrible, terribly nervous time, and they were very unsure of themselves. They might call it the time I didn't trust myself, and that's fine. But we want to start with the physical sensation. Then you want them to rank this from 0 to negative 10 as we're calibrating them. Rank it from 0 to negative 10. And then once we get that number, you write it down, and you write the name that they gave it, and then have them stand up, shake off that negative feeling, you know, shake their hands, shake their arms, move their legs. Maybe they have to jump up and down. Take a couple of deep breaths, and then have them sit and breathe deeply again and come into their body. And ask them to focus on something that was a really good thing that happened to them, a happy memory. Sometimes clients don't have a happy memory. It's not totally uncommon, but then you just ask them something that was better than the thing that they had just come up with, or significantly better. And then you want to go through that process. What is the physical feeling? Name it, and then rank it. And then that is their calibration for a bad feeling and for a good feeling, where their body compass was telling them they're going against their true North Star, or where their body compass was like, yay, let's go, this is awesome, and it's a good thing. When you're actually doing the to-dos, and we can go over this later, when your client has a list of to-dos, don't assume cleaning the toilet is going to be a negative one, or don't assume meeting with the children's teacher is going to be negative. Don't assume a new hot date is going to be positive. So when you're asking them where on the body compass the to-dos fall, you start from negative 10 to plus 10. And zero is always neutral. And sometimes people will have zero as the feeling. It's a neutral feeling. And it's surprising how many times somebody thought one of their to-dos was negative and it turns out to be positive, and vice versa. So that's why we always give the whole scale, negative 10 to positive 10 on the to-dos. So that's pretty much all I have to say about that. Any questions? Any confusion?
I've got a question. It's Robin.
Sure, Robin.
How important is it that when you're calibrating that the ranking is sort of a high number, like negative 7 or 8 or 9, as opposed to, let's say, negative 2? If you get a negative 2, have you not calibrated far enough?
No, it could be that negative 2 is one that isn't really traumatic for them, but it was a negative feeling. So we can never assume that a negative 2 is not a bad feeling. It could be the most negative someone has ever felt is a 5, a negative 5, right?
Okay.
So that's totally fine.
Okay.
Yep. And this is where we're trusting our clients' intuition, too. It may be over time as you're working with them that changes. As they get to trust their body and understand their body reading more, those numbers may change. Great question. Anybody else? Anything popping up? Okay, so I'd like somebody who has not coached to volunteer to coach. Any takers? Oh, come on, you guys. This is one of the most fun things you can do. You have a menu for it. It's pretty straightforward. And so if you're really nervous or you're kind of afraid to coach out loud, this is a great one not to be afraid of. And I'm here to help guide you if you get stuck, so I'd really like a volunteer. And if you're on mute, you might have to unmute yourself, which would be 4-star. So somebody volunteer, please.
I will try, Deb.
Okay, who's this?
Candace. This Who? Is Candace.
Candace, awesome. Fabulous.
Good job, Candace. Yay.
Thanks.
Yay, I have a coach.
Yay. We were worried, weren't we, Heather? Candace, that's awesome. Okay, so everybody else, I want you to be an observer and just note any questions, any insights, any intuitive hits you have. And so Candace, we'll see how it goes for you, and I think it's going to go fine. And if you're feeling really, really good, you can just go right into the to-dos, and what you'll do is ask Heather to come up with three things that she has to do this week, and then you'll go through those things. And you don't have to do it as detailed as calibrating, but just find out where those things land on her body compass. And you may find out a lot about what's going on and what she has to do, what she likes, what she doesn't like, and it's all good. And if at that point you decide you'd like somebody else to coach her through the to-dos, we can do that too. So it's going to be totally up to you. And either way is perfectly fine. So I'm here if you get stuck. I'm here if you just lose your way a little bit. And I'll pop in if there's something that I think you need to change. So any questions?
Well, I do. So would you like me to start by sort of doing the short version of sort of getting in her body? And
Yeah, just after
just
the, you know.
Briefly calibrating. Okay.
Yeah, just begin by having her close her eyes and do some breathing and relax. And then just take it in. She doesn't, you know, you can have her focus on her feet, her hands, her nose, right, the tip of her nose.
Okay.
And then take it into the bad memory. But you may find that what you did in the beginning wasn't enough, and you can always back up and take her deeper into her body. Okay?
Okay.
And chances are it's going to be fine. So,
okay.
All right. Good job. Thank you, Candace. Take care, you guys.
Okay. Good morning, Heather.
Hi, Candace.
It's nice to hear your lovely voice.
You too.
Thank you. So to begin, if I can have you close your eyes.
Okay.
And start with a couple of deep breaths. In through your nose and out through your mouth. And Heather, I'll ask if you can feel your feet on the floor. And if you can you wiggle your toes? Are you able to feel your bottom on the seat of your chair or your bed or couch, wherever you're sitting?
I can now that you mentioned it. Yep.
Are you able to feel your back resting up against whatever's supporting it?
Yep.
Can you notice the tip of your nose?
Yeah, it's cold.
Okay, let's take one more deep breath in through our nose, out through our mouth. Do you feel like you're in your body?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So, if I might ask if you can think of an unhappy time or memory, if you can bring that into your consciousness.
Yeah, I've got one.
Let me know, Heather, you can? Okay.
Yeah.
And as you bring that into your awareness, are there any smells that you can smell that are associated with this?
So, Candace,
yes.
So this is, you did a beautiful job of getting her in her body. That was awesome. It was very meditative and it was very slow. So when you're asking her to remember that time in her life that wasn't great, when I suggested smell the smells of that time, you can just casually say, you don't have to wait for an answer. You don't have to ask, are there any smells? You can just say, smell the smells.
Okay.
You know, notice the weather. What were the sounds? You know, you're just trying to bring her vividly into that memory And so you don't have to wait for an answer. Just those are just casual suggestions. Okay, perfect.
Okay, I guess for timing, thank you for helping. I just wasn't sure timing. Like for me, sometimes it might take me a minute to get there. That's why I don't know, are you there yet or are you not there yet?
Right. And so what you can do in the beginning, no, I get that. What you can do in the beginning is just ask her, notice the sights of that time, notice the colors, notice the people present, notice any smells, any sounds, and then just stop and let her get there. And that can take time, and you can take the time to just hold the space and wait for her. So, yes, perfect.
Perfectly.
Hey, can I ask a question too, Deb?
Sure.
It's Heather.
Sure.
So typically, would I, as the client, end up giving her some details of, like, where I am, like what the situation is, or not at all? I didn't pick something traumatic, but I picked something that really pissed me off. So I could, like, do I share that or not?
You do not have to share that. So this is, and thank you for bringing that up, because this is a really good point. We don't have to know what it is.
Okay.
As coaches, we don't really care, right? We don't have to know what it is. When they start talking about the physical sensations in their body, what it feels like, where in the body are they feeling this terrible time, that's all we need to know. We don't need, and you can even say that to your client, I don't need to know what it is. I don't need to know what the time was or what happened. We just want you to bring it back to your memory vividly so that you can be in the memory and feel it. And that's it.
Yeah.
You don't have to know a thing. So good question. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
Thanks, Heather. Right. That helps me too. Okay. So.
Okay.
Let's take a deep breath after that little coffee talk. Okay. You're in your body.
Not yet.
Body.
Give me
Heather.
A sec. Sorry.
Problem. Let me know if you need my help.
Okay, I'm settled back into my body, but I'm not in the event yet. So, can you help me get there?
Okay. Are you able to bring up an unhappy time? Can you visualize it? Are there any smells that you can smell, or colors, or sounds? Or notice the people present? Let me know if you're still struggling or when you're there.
I'm almost there. I'm almost just needing to listen to some of the words that were said to really feel the yuckiness of it. So maybe just another minute.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you tell me what bodily connections or sensations are connected to this memory?
Yes. The first thing I feel is in my neck and my throat, it actually feels like really, really tight, almost like I'm being choked, like I shouldn't speak or something. So it's tight and not quite strangled, but I don't know another word for that. But so it's just tightness, I guess, in my neck and throat.
Is there,
you know what? Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Well, I was just going to say it's, as I tune into my whole body, it's like my legs can run away, so my legs are still free, and the heaviness begins at the bottom of my spine, and then it's sort of like the top of me is, you know, from the bottom of my spine all the way up, you know, through my belly and chest, and then even up to my head. But the strongest part is in my neck. But throughout my body, I also feel like the pit of my stomach feels, it feels sad. So what does that sad feel like? Like sunken in. I don't know if that's the appropriate language, but it feels like sunken in. And then my chest feels weak and my neck feels tight.
Goodness. Sorry, Heather, I'm just like taking it in.
No, it's yeah.
Are you able? That's quite a bit of feeling. I'm proud of you for getting to all that, noticing that. Mm-hmm. Are you able to rank?
Yeah, it's
physical from a 0 to -10.
Yep. It's funny. My first response was -10, and then my thought was it couldn't be that bad, but it's a -10 for me. So,
and we're not going to judge that. We're going to say it's a -10.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Deep breath, and let's get you to stand up if you're able to, and shake that off. And take a
good.
Small, you know. Whatever you want to do, shake it out of your fingers, shake it out of
your I'm running on the spot, and I'm shaking my whole body.
Good girl.
I would ready to have that go. Okay. I'm good.
Okay. So maybe we'll take one more deep breath, because now we get to go to something more pleasant.
Okay.
Do you feel like you're in your body? Do you need a second, or you need me to walk you through?
I just have to say one thing and then my body will be fine. I think it's a great, my only thought was, this is great. I can tell my husband all the work I did on our call today and he could give me a neck massage because my neck is a little stiff still. Anyways. Okay.
I think that's
body.
Perfect. That's wonderful. Wonderful self-care. You know, if you feel your bottom on your chair, your back against whatever supporting you.
Yep.
Okay. Now on to remembering a happy memory.
Okay.
Can you bring into your consciousness a happy memory?
Are there any sounds, colors, smells, people?
Are you able, Heather, to notice where you feel that in your body?
Yeah. My body, all over, my entire body softens and it feels like it kind of dissolves a little bit, like the hard edges of my body disappear and there's lightness, but dissolving, like I'm connected to everything. It feels lovely.
Yay. So, Deb, may I ask a question? I hate to interrupt right here.
No, okay. Fine.
That's
okay.
The whole point. Go for it.
Okay. So I think I noticed, like, on the negative and the positive, and I realize I'm not going to do this perfectly at first, but how you oftentimes it's helpful to come up with a little phrase without knowing the event or how do I guide them to do that? I mean, Heather's pretty good at feeling her body, so now do I say, can you come up with a phrase for the pleasant thought or event, or how do you do that?
So let me just say, Candace, you're doing a beautiful job. So let me just say that. You're doing a great job getting her back in her body. You're doing a great job leading her through this. So let's talk about, and you got a surprise. You got a negative 10. How about that? So, and Heather, I know we're probably going to get you totally back out of your body by talking about this right now, but, you know, Candace will do a great job getting you back in and into this memory again. So is that okay?
Yeah.
Do the coffee talk? Okay.
Of course.
Okay, good. So when you were doing the negative, I noticed that you didn't ask for a phrase on the negative, and that's fine. And I wanted to say, too, it's always okay for all of you guys when you're coaching a client to, and there's silence and you're not coming back to them and you feel like you need to answer them. It's always fine to say, I'm writing this down. And then they know, and Candace, you did do that. You said, sorry, I'm just taking notes, right? And so that was perfect.
Yeah.
It's always fine to just let your client know you're writing this down. And it's confirming for them that you're listening and that you're taking notes and that, you know, you are there. So always good to do that. I let that go, and I didn't interrupt because she gave such great descriptions about what was going on in her body, right, that I thought, well, let's see how this goes and where it goes. But you could have asked her then, you know, do you have a phrase that can tie all these different, because she was feeling from the bottom of her spine up to her neck, right?
Yes.
And she was also feeling sadness that she was surprised at. So when she was feeling the negative memory, and when she was feeling it in her body, that one would have been a great one to ask, you know, for like an all-encompassing kind of description or phrase for this memory and what it feels like in your body. And so, you know, she might have gone back to what she told us before when we were coffee talking earlier, that it was something that really pissed her off, right? So it made the pissed off feeling, right? And that might be what she gives you. So then back into this, where you are, and you're asking her about the positive feelings, yes, ask her if someone can come up with a phrase that represents these feelings in her body, right? Whether it's one.
And that phrase?
Pardon?
I'm sorry, that phrase, just for clarification, that phrase needs to be a sensation, or it can sort of be more on a cognitive level. In other words,
it
she's
can
giving
be whatever,
great.
It can be whatever comes to her. Like
okay.
Like the negative one, it could have been what she said in the beginning, you know, just really tight neck and throat. It could be the really tight neck and throat memory.
Neck and throat feeling.
Or
okay.
It could be the really pissed off memory, right?
Okay.
So whatever we come up with is fine in the memory of that. But in order to get to that description, you want to have good descriptions of the physical sensations. And then your brain ties it all together. Does
okay.
that make sense?
That does for me. I got a little hung up on the wording. I wasn't sure if it had to always all remain in the sensation part of it, or once we've gone there, it can be whatever they name it.
Yeah, it could be the really. It's good to have it connected to the physical sensation, but our brains are going to do a really good job of that. And so, if it's easier for them as they go forth in life to know that this sensation was the don't get on the elevator sensation, right?
Okay.
Or
yes.
Don't walk down that dark alley sensation. They're going to know everything that comes up because of that association. So I think you're okay. It gives you a little leeway there to play with it. I had one cadet one time, and he really wanted to call the physical sensations. He was having trouble with it, and it was a good memory. And the physical sensation, you know, the phrase he gave to it was peacock. And we tried talking about that, you know, and bringing it back to the physical sensation. But in the end, he was associating that time with what he assumed a peacock would feel like, right? Showing his feathers. And so that was fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. So, Candace, let me ask Heather if she needs help to get back into the good
memory. I will.
Okay.
Okay.
Take it away.
Thank you, Heather, for being patient with me.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. Okay.
Of course.
So, let's take a quick deep breath or a long breath into our nose and out to our mouth. Try to feel the weight of our body being supported, being held by a chair or sofa. Can you feel your back against what's supporting you?
Yep.
And are you able to feel your feet on the floor?
Yep.
Can you feel the weight of your arms?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if we can recall your happy memory, are you able to bring that back? Can you see any colors? Are you able to see any people present? Are there any smells that you can smell?
Yeah, I'm almost there. It's just not fully in my body yet. I just need to feel it for another second here.
No problem.
It was really good, so I have to do it justice.
Oh, I agree. I'm wondering if you can notice the weather or if it was inside or outside.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm there.
Okay. Are you able to feel any physical sensations and where that is in your body?
Yep, it's like my whole body softens and opens up. My whole body feels lighter. It's like unzipping the physical and just relaxing. I feel so relaxed.
Wow.
And a slight buzz, like a body buzz.
Ooh, buzz or tingling, wonderful. Is there a phrase that could represent this memory for you?
The first thing that comes to mind is, I'm so happy I want to cry. But there might be something else, too. That's just what I wanted to say right now. But I don't know if that describes it or not. But let me see.
And can I pop in here? Heather, that's a perfect description. The so happy I want to cry time would be...
Okay, good, because that's what I felt like saying. I just felt like,
yes,
sure. Great. It describes it well, so...
Yes, and so your brain might want to come in and try to make it perfect or better, but let's go with the first thing you thought of, because that's pretty powerful.
Okay.
Okay.
Amen. Well, I love this happy memory for you, and I'm happy that you were able to gather it together. So the so happy I could cry memory on a scale 0 to +10, what would you rate that?
It's a +10.
Yay.
Okay, I'm gonna interrupt here a little bit, too.
Perfect.
Candace, beautiful job. Did you notice all the emotion in Heather's voice there at the end?
Yes. That's why I'm trying to take a deep breath myself. This is my little I'm happy for, and at the same time, I can get a little, I don't know if the word's enmeshed, but I can totally feel it.
It's the mirror neurons, okay?
So, okay.
Yeah, don't think of it as a bad thing. And yes, we have to stay really clean with that, because if you start boo-hooing with your client,
yes,
you know, it might not be the most supportive thing you can do. But if you notice tears in your eyes because of that mirror neurons and the fact that you're empathic, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself a little break.
Okay.
So what you might want to do right now, though, is check in with Heather and find out if she's okay.
Okay. Miss Heather,
mm-hmm.
I just want to check in and see if you're okay.
Yes, I'm good. It's just like a overflowing of gratitude that such joyful experiences exist. So I'm just really happy. I'm great.
How awesome. That's something mm-hmm. to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
All
yeah,
right,
I'm
you
good.
Guys. You did a beautiful job. Beautiful job. So let's talk about this just a little bit. So, Heather, thank you for being so open and honest and
yeah.
not being afraid to go back and say, no, I'm not in my body. I could use your help. That's great. That was very helpful for everybody else to see that that definitely can happen with our clients, and probably not so much because we don't coffee talk with our clients, right? But it can still happen. It can happen while they're in the memory when all of a sudden, you know, they pop out again and they're like, oh, their brain takes over and their brain wants to analyze, and because we know that.
Yeah, and your brain can get in the memory, but if your body's not there, you can't give them any physical sensations. So there's nothing to say until your body's there. It's almost like you don't have a choice if that's the exercise to do it. Honestly, you have to, you know, take a minute.
Exactly. And you're the perfect client. Not only it's kind of interesting because you fully get in your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet you know when you get out so that you can ask for the help. And we won't always know with our clients. So you have to kind of keep the ear open and trust your intuition. And if you sense that they've gotten out of their body, you can always ask them if they'd like your help getting back in. So, Candace, you did a great job doing that. I love that.
Can I say one other little thing, Deb?
Sure.
I did have judgment on myself for going to a minus 10 and a plus 10, but I noticed that when I got into my body, I couldn't lie. My head wanted to do a little safer numbers, or not even safer, but I thought, oh, that can't be a minus 10. It can't be a plus 10.
We're totally going to talk about that.
But then my body was like, yep, that's what it is. So
okay. Shut
up and say it.
Yep. So hold on for that, because we're going to talk about that, because that was kind of awesome too.
Okay.
So, and Candace, again, great job. I'm so glad you volunteered. How did that feel for you? Was it as scary as you might have thought it was?
No, not quite as scary as I thought it was, especially that I know that you're observing. That was very helpful.
Okay, good. You did a great job. I do have a little bit of feedback on one thing.
Yes, ma'am.
I've got feedback on a couple of things. Number one, when she went to a negative 10, you were cool as a cucumber, right? You didn't panic that it was a negative 10, and that's great. Because that's what's going to happen. Our clients don't always know. And you didn't even say, don't go to your worst memory, right? You just said,
yes.
A not-so-great memory. Or I don't remember your exact words, but they were fine. So you handled that really well. When you are and just remember to ask for some kind of phrase. Maybe the phrase just is tight neck and throat, and that's okay. I'm just saying that's okay. So
okay.
When you are prompting her in her memory, and this is for all of you, when you're taking them deeper into the body, try not to phrase the can you see any colors, can you hear sounds? Because when you ask a question, you're And can Heather, tell me where I'm wrong on this, and I could be wrong, but please do help us understand this. When Candace is asking that question, your brain wants to respond. And so instead of asking the question, Candace, just say, notice the sights.
Notice. Okay.
The smells. Notice any people present. Notice the weather on that day. And then you can and then following it up with, let me know when you're there, is beautiful. So that's okay. That's the only thing that I would have that I have as far as feedback to improve what you did. The other thing, and that's for everybody. So that was really great. Thank you for that learning opportunity. The other thing is, when she went to the plus 10, you also were like, okay, you know, and you just accepted that because it kind of goes back to Robin's question, right? You can't know what your client is feeling. And it was a surprise to Heather both times that one was a negative 10 and one was a plus 10. You did a great job, Candace, also getting her to transition from the negative to the positive. That was perfect, having her jump. And you had a client that could do it and play along and
yes,
comfortable doing that. So, very good job, you guys. Thank you very much. The phrase that Heather offered, so happy I want to cry, was even demonstrated a little bit. So that was kind of cool. And so these are the feelings in your body, Heather, that you know are steering you either to something that is not following your North Star to something that is. And the fact that they were both to the extreme of the scale, you've got a pretty good indication when you're going either way. So that's kind of cool. I would like to know if you have, and just really quickly, any feedback for Candace?
Well, it was lovely. I mean, I enjoyed it and I felt really safe. Maybe because Candace is in my study group also, I felt like, I don't know, maybe I felt like I sort of know her a bit, so I felt safe to really get into my body and let my body speak. But that's about me. Sorry, feedback. Gosh, I don't know. It was wonderful. I had a great experience. I think you did a wonderful job.
Okay, great.
I'm still too in my body. I'm not in my head.
Okay. That's fine.
I don't know.
Stay in that happy place. So, because we're going to take you out of it quickly.
Yeah.
So, I am changing my mind, though, Candace, and if it's okay with you, because we're getting close to the end of the call, I would like somebody else to have the opportunity to coach her.
Absolutely.
Is that okay?
Absolutely. Yes, it is. Okay. Thank you, Heather. Thank you,
Great.
Beth, for your help.
Thank you, Candace. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And also, please, just know that everything that you did and the revisiting and the coffee talk we had was great for everybody. So before we get a coach to volunteer to do the to-dos, anybody have any questions or comments about what Candace and Heather just said? Any confusion? No? Everybody good? Let me look on make sure no one has their hand raised. No, I don't see a hand raised. Okay. So who would like to volunteer, who hasn't coached before, to take Heather through the to-do list? Three to-dos, something she has to do this week, and rank them on her body compass. So it will be a very quick, shortened version of what you just heard, and find out which one is at the top and the bottom of the list, so she has an idea of what to do first. And don't forget, if you're on mute, just hit 4-star to take yourself off mute. My gosh. Okay, I would love someone to volunteer, but I will pick pick someone if somebody doesn't. So if you're really like nervous about doing this, volunteer. Let's just get it over with. It's a really supportive group. It's safe.
I'll go ahead. This is Danielle.
Danielle, beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me quickly ask, I just can't remember on this, could you quickly go through like the sequencing at this point?
Sure.
Yeah,
so
I think it's really simple.
You're going to ask Heather to list 3 things that she has to do this week.
Right.
And then you're just going to ask her to take a deep breath and close her eyes and think about the first thing. And then you're going to ask her where would she rank that on her body compass. And she may tell you some stuff about that to do and what it is and what it involves, mm-hmm. and that's okay. And then you ask her to put that on her body compass from a negative 10 to a plus 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then you do the same thing with the second to do and with the third to do.
Okay.
So just have them figure out what it is, reasons why they feel they have to do it. So she's going to talk to you about each one and give you a little bit of a background on those to-dos, and then you're going to ask her to rank them. But remember, it's a negative 10 to a plus 10 with 0 being neutral.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right.
Thank you, Danielle.
Heather, are you ready?
I'm ready, Danielle. Thank you for volunteering. You're awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. So now you have been calibrated, and now we're going to, I'm going to ask you to think about a couple of things you're going to do this week.
Got them.
And tell me more about what you've got on your list. So let's start with your first item.
Okay, I have to make an eye doctor's appointment for my daughter, and I'm avoiding it because I don't want it to be a bad experience for her, and I'm nervous that she's going to need a stronger prescription, and I just don't want her to have bad eyes, so I'm kind of avoiding making that call.
Okay. All right. So settling into yourself, Where is that on the rank from negative 10 to positive 10? How do you feel when you think about that to-do item?
It's a negative 4.
Okay. Did you want to say anything more about it, or did you want to move on to the next?
No, I'm okay. I know it's one of those things I have to do. I just don't want to.
Right.
But, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay.
Right. Okay. Well, that says something to you, doesn't it? So, okay, what's the next thing on your list?
The next thing is I want to reach out to past clients to ask if any of them are open so that I can share these new tools with them. So I basically just need to send an email, and I'm also avoiding that because these are clients I've worked with in the past, but it's been a year since I've talked to them, and I've been sort of, moving and in transition for a year. And what I used to do with them is different than the new tools I want to try on them, and I'm just feeling nervous about it. And but at this stage, it's just an email. But again, it's something on my to-do list that I'm kind of nervous about and kind of avoiding.
Mm. So how would you rank that when you think about it?
That one is a negative 7, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That one's a little yuckier.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so did you want to say anything more about that?
No, I'm okay.
Okay. And so what about the third thing on your list?
The third one is I just need to get my butt out and go for a walk. And it's really stormy here and rainy, and so I know I'll feel good if I do, and I like to go out regardless of the weather, but I can see my mind coming up with all kinds of reasons why I shouldn't. So I'm sort of like whiny, like I don't want to go out, but I know I need to get some exercise. So that's the other thing.
Well, that's an interesting one. So can you, where do you rank that?
It's kind of funny. It's like a giggly minus two. Like I kind of know that it's going to switch fast and I just have to get dressed and walk out the door and then it will automatically switch to a higher number. So that one's kind of a funny one. It's like I've caught myself.
I was wondering. So it's like, so tell me what the number is when you think about before, like putting on your clothes and getting out the door. What is your number then?
Well, like once I'm physically out the door,
yes,
I jump
after,
to a plus
yes, after
four.
You're out the door, yes, and you've walked out the door and you're outside.
Yeah, so the beginning of the walk, I can see it already. I'm a plus four just getting out of the house. And by the end of the walk, like through the walk, I can see my energy getting better and better. And like I'll be singing by the time I get back. It'll be like, you know, a plus. Well, it'll probably be close to a plus, I don't know, 9, 8, 10. I don't know. It'll be good. It'll be good.
But I'm just curious, like right now, as you describe it on your to-do list, what does your gut say about it? I mean, just before you're getting out, it's on your list of things to do, and you look at it. How do you look at it in terms of a rank?
It's a minus two.
Okay, so that's interesting because that's a good way for you to. It's an interesting way to look at a to-do item. And I
yeah.
So that's great. I wanna butt in here. So Danielle, that was very good. The thing that I thought was really great on the number three. First of all, Heather, the giggling negative two cracked me up. That was good.
I know. And at the end, I thought, I feel so good. I can just cross that off my to-do list. I don't even need to go. But I'm joking. I will.
So Danielle, what you did that was really great, and you would do this with all the other to-dos. And you can go through and you can start coaching your client, like on the eye doctor appointment, for example. There's a lot there.
Yes. Right? Oh, I know. I resisted because in each of these, it's if she goes and the appointment turns out, I mean, there's a lot of fear in there, like the fear of how the prescription and anyway, so I know that a lot of that is anticipation.
Right, and a lot of it really has more to do with Heather than her daughter.
Right, so there's stuff in there. And
there's
then on the second
lot.
One with the,
yeah.
Yeah, the email, too, we all have that. The fear of reaching out to people and then how, Heather, you would feel about once you get that email sent, how you'll feel. You'll feel probably pretty well for getting that email out.
So, Danielle, that's perfect. And I want to applaud what you did with number three because you heard that she was a little ambivalent about it. She knew once she got out the door she was going to be fine. So you actually took her out the door, and that's when she came up with, you know, the plus 9, 8, or 10. And but she also, walking out the door was a plus 4. So you were able to take her to the other side of this one where you knew there was another side, and that was perfect way to coach her, you know. Anticipate getting out the door. What are you going to feel like then, right? So going back to the eye doctor, Heather, I love that you're so patient as we talk about you this whole time. going back to the eye doctor, you know, you might want to find out. One of the things that she said, and these are things to take note of when your clients come to you with a decision that they're having to make, and it's not always going to be a list. We're just doing the list to show you what you can do with this. but they're going to have a decision to make. And she knows she's avoiding this because she doesn't want her daughter's eyesight to be bad, right? So there's that whole path that you can go down to finding out why that's a painful thought, what kind of a painful thought that is, what's that related to. You can go down there. The other thing, you could take her to the other side, you know, and how would it feel to her for her daughter to be able to see well, right? And then she may have an increase in the glasses. And why, you know, so there's two different paths you can go there. But the other thing to note is that Heather said she knows she has to do it, but she's putting it off. Mm-hmm. You can question the have to, right? Are you sure you have to do this negative thing? I'm assuming, I have a hunch in this, it's going to be a yes. I have to do this thing that feels so negative. And just as a generalization for all of you, when you're working with your clients, sometimes you do the negative because the payoff is such a positive. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? So just like with her walking, it was a perfect example, right? Went from a negative 2 to a plus 4. The payoff of getting outside and actually doing the walking made doing that thing she was resisting doable. And now, that's probably less of a have-to in her mind, going for a walk, than the eye doctor appointment. And you can explore that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, wanting to reach out to past clients, you could delve in her and talk to her about the fear around that. Why does it matter that it's been a year? You know, you can start going down and exploring and having her say more about all those different things she brought up. So this is where you start. You know, if you don't take copious notes because it's too confusing and you lose track and you lose presence with your client, the keywords that you want to come back to. And that's how you start coaching your clients around those negative items on their list and beliefs that they have that may or may not be true. And we're going to find more ways to do that even next week with the five whys. And so as you're prepping for the class next week, which is the five whys class, you might want to keep Heather in mind about the kind of whys you could ask her about some of these negative tests, these number one and number two. And that would just be a fun exercise. So great job, you guys. Thank you for that. And
my only quick follow-up would be, I felt awkward sort of not delving into even the first one because there was obviously something there. You're in the coaching situation, would you, if you immediately wanted to delve into that, would you let the list sort of unfold first?
Well, if they're coming to you with that issue, and this is what
right.
more typically is going to happen, they're going to talk to you about, I have this appointment I have to make for my daughter. I don't want her to need glasses. I don't want the prescription to be stronger. You know, I have all these ideas about kids wearing glasses or whatever it is that she's feeling. Absolutely, you go right to it. In this case, for demo and the five whys, the to-dos, you want to get all the to-dos out
mm-hmm.
first.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be that your client has five things they have to do this week or even 10. You want to get them all out and ranked. And then use your intuition to go back to the one. And so that's kind of what you did, Danielle. You let her list them all, and then you honed in on the third one because you saw a lot of wiggle room with that one, right? And so,
well, yes, and Heather also said that.
But yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, your client is always going to say that in some way. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So give yourself credit for at least honing in on that. Yes, she helped, but the clients
yep.
are always going to help with that, for sure. So, yeah, for this
right.
case, and if you have a bunch of to-dos, get them all down so then you can rank them. And you can even get them all down first and then have your client rank them, go back to them, but just give you the list of to-dos and then go each one, rank each one. The way you did it was fine, too, to rank each one individually as she spoke them. That was also fine. So good job.
All right.
Any questions or comments?
Hello, Deb. I know we're almost done, but I have a quick question. This is Maria. Should I go ahead or should I email it?
No, go ahead.
I had a gut reaction when Heather was talking about her experience with the glasses and having to do it, and I could feel that it was a negative, and I could feel her fear. And I have a feel, like sometimes when I'm talking to someone and they get to, they're talking about something that's a little uncomfortable or there's emotion around it, I have a tendency to say something like, something relatable, because I actually am very empathetic to the situation. And so I would possibly say something like, you know, I wore glasses as a child. Is this bringing too much of myself into the situation versus, you know, just allowing the client to, you know, to just feel what they're feeling?
Yeah. So the in that case, I would say to hold back on that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're telling this because you feel like you need to relate, that's, you know, there's all sorts of different levels of this, right? You want to let your clients know that you're empathetic, you know, that you're not being judgmental, and that you're holding safe space. And so sometimes it just, you know, just a simple, I hear you kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
fine. When you start telling her you wore glasses as a child, whether that's positive or negative, it's going to influence her really getting in touch with her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hold back on that because we don't know where she's really going to go,
mm-hmm.
how she's feeling about this. And so even anything that I've already said so far, it would be asking her to say more. Just
mm-hmm.
And just keeping your story to yourself until
yeah.
it seems a more appropriate time to share, and then you always want to ask.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And you know, guys, coaching is an art. It's not a science. And so you're going to feel a lot of this out as you're playing with this and practicing. So, you know, if you say, oh, I wore glasses as a kid and I hated it, and don't beat yourself up too much afterwards for doing something like that, or I wore glasses as a kid and I loved it. I got to pick out different glasses, different styles. You know, don't beat yourself up for that either after the call. This is all practice and getting to know how you're holding space for your clients. Okay? Any other questions quickly before we go?
I just have one comment. This is David.
Sure, David.
I just wanted to say, Candace, Heather, and Daniel, great job. I appreciated it and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thanks, David.
Cool. Somebody else had something?
Deb, this is Candace. I just wanted to quickly ask, is the goal of ranking, when we rank it, to get them at least to neutral if it's negative?
No. No, you can, that memory, that to-do, are you talking about the to-dos?
I'm sorry, the to-do list, yeah.
No, you don't have to get it to anything because, honestly, you know, if you hate the thought of plunging, this is a crazy example, you hate the thought of plunging a toilet because, you know, you might throw up, for example, but that toilet needs to be plunged. And so the actual plunging of it might always be a negative 8, right? But where you get to and the payoff for doing that negative task is a positive 5 or a plus 10. So you can talk about, it's a little like Danielle was helping Heather with the walking out the door. So it's a little like that. But no,
okay.
It's not to get it to neutral because I don't think you could ever get everything to neutral. There are a couple of things that will be neutral, but, yeah, that's not the goal. The goal is to just see past how see past the reluctance to do it and either wipe it off your list and say, yeah, I don't need to do that, or this is what I will do, and this is why I'll do it. And in the end, it's going to be a payoff. And then it might be neutral, or it might be positive, or it might be a less negative number.
Okay.
Any of
Thank you.
Good question. Thank you. Okay, you guys, any other questions about this? Let's take them to the forum thread, but get ready for next week's class. And I had mentioned last week that you may have a sub for this coming week, and I will verify that today. And but in the meantime, go ahead and do the prep work on tab. Let's see what tab it is. The next tab is tab 5, CTC 1, class 3. And so you're going to want to coach 1 to 2 people, and you're going to want to get coached using the body compass and to-dos. So you guys should have a lot of fun with this week. Just go ahead and have fun. Put any questions on the forum. What you can do on the forum, you can even ask me questions about this. If you want to keep it a little less confusing, change the title of the thread in the Coach the Coach Practicum 1 forum that we're already in and just say Body Compass or Body Compass Questions. So you can change the thread title, and it'll be easier to follow some things. You have a new, say you want, you have a question on to-dos. You can change the title of your post, not the thread, but the title of your post. And then anybody answering underneath, it'll all pertain to that. So I'll do that first when I go out there this morning and tell you all what a great job you did. And I'll change the title of the thread, and then you guys can repeat that and copy that. So anyway, any questions out there, make sure that you prep for the class next week by watching the videos, the Going Deeper with Martha in Square One, the 5 Whys, the 5 Whys demo with Martha and Abigail, and All About Limiting Beliefs with Martha. And listen to the coaching tool demo and just review the information in your binder. And let me know if I can answer any questions. And thank you, guys. Great class. Good job.
Thanks, Deb.
Okay. Y'all have a great
week.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.